Okay, so we were in the middle of discussing the question of binyan bekalim, right, of building with vessels. So we were dealing with was the contradiction between several passages where this halacha appears. So our Gemara and Chav Beis Amud Aleph asserts that you are allowed to build this or assemble this menorah made of different pieces, according to Beis Hillel, because ain binyan bekalim. Well, Beis Shammai holds yesh binyan bekalim, therefore he forbids it, at least midrabbanan in this case, because it's mechsi kibonet. And so the Gemara here and the Gemara in Beis Daf Yud assert this rule of ain binyan bekalim. On the other hand, you have the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Zayin that asserts that if you put together this bed made of multiple pieces, so then you are chayiv chatas. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Beis, when talking about assembling a shovel, assumes that according to Rav, you violate bonet. The Gemara in Irvin, like the Gemara in here in Beit Chaf and Chaf Beis and Beit Daf Yud, in the context of getting an Eruv Tavshilin and Eruv Chatzeros out of a large box or a closet or whatever exactly you want to call it, a migdal, holds that you, if it's in there, so one position says it is mutter to break it on Shabbos, and therefore it is you can rely on the Eruv that's inside because ain bin bekalim. So we have several Gemaras that say that when you assemble a kli, it's not called binyan bekalim, and when you and then you have other Gemaras that say when you assemble a kli, it is binyan. So which is it? So that was what we were dealing with. So we started with the position of Tosfos. So Tosfos has several positions. The one we focused on last week is his distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right? Tosfos argues that perhaps binyan bekalim is usher on Shabbos, but binyan bekalim is not usher on Yom Tov, right? So both on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can't presumably build. Well, actually, that's not totally clear. On Shabbos, So Tosfos distinguishes between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, why would you distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov? So we noted last week that Tosfos in general has a strange position that any time you have a malacha that in any way, shape, or form could be used for ochel nefesh, right, could be used for food.
Cheesy position.
For things for food on Yom Tov, so then the entire malacha becomes mutter even for non-food purposes through an expansive application of mito. So specifically, the Gemara in Shabbos says that at least according to one position, making cheese is bonah, and presumably making cheese on Yom Tov is permitted because it's for food purposes, and therefore Tosfos says that building your house. We're still reviewing, Sam. Okay. That building your house would be mutter midaraisa on Yom Tov and usher on Shabbos. Based on that, Ber Yitzchak, which is, I checked, is Rav Yisrael Elchanan. I always assume it is, and then I assume it that I'm making a mistake because that's the Ein Yitzchak, and then I look back and know he wrote both the Ber Yitzchak and the Ein Yitzchak, argues that these positions are connected, that the reason Tosfos thinks that Boneh, Binyan Bekalim is Mutter on Yom Tov and Aser on Shabbos is because in general he thinks that Boneh, even real Boneh, like building a house, is only Aser is mutter midaraisa on Yom Tov, and therefore binyan bekalim, which is only a derivative, we're not going to be gozer against it on Yom Tov, and we are on Shabbos, and that's what we left off with the Ber Yitzchak. He added that perhaps this is part of the machlokas Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in the cheese sugya, that Rabbi Elazar, who thinks that making cheese is bonet, paskins like Beis Shammai, because he's a Talmud of Beis Shammai, that yesh binyan bekalim, but if you hold ein binyan bekalim, you will hold ein binyan beochlin. Fine, that's what we're up to last week. Okay. But let us move to other ways of being miyashev this stira. So Tosfos has a second possibility, which is as follows. Tosfos' second answer is v'yesh lomar. This is the second Tosfos of Chav Beis Amud Aleph, the second answer. Inam v'yesh lomar. Dehasa mayri shekula shel cholyos umifarkin nosa ivarim ivarim. אבל הוכה מיירי שאין חוסר רק להקים הקצס ואין אבל סעיבורם דקולה מחוברסי. Maybe there's a difference between something that is basically built, you just need to assemble it a little bit, and something which is basically in pieces and you need to actually complete it. So he makes the very reasonable argument that the classic case of binyan is building a house. Binyan bekelim is a derivative. But if you create a new kli, so then, yesh binyan bekelim. If you just assemble a pre-existing kli, something that's meant to be put together, the extreme, as we'll see, like a folding chair, right? Which has become very relevant. A folding chair. That is going to be mutter, because that's assembling, that's not building. Right? So that's Tosos's position. There's a difference between creating a kli and assembling a kli. Creating is bona, assembling is not.
So it's just a definition of...
Correct, right? Meaning the classic case of bona is building a house. When you apply it to kelim, the only thing which is similar to that is assembling a new kli. Now, I should clarify that when you're building a house... It's not true that you only violate when you build it completely. Even Mosef al Abinyan, right? Even if you add a brick, you violate bona mida araisa. But Tosu says that's not true by Kalim, right? In order for it to be true by Kalim, you need to assemble it, you need to build it completely. You need to create a kli. But yeah, that's his definition. So therefore he says, in the Gemara's where it says that there is a binyan mikalim, it means there's no binyan if you merely assemble a kli. As opposed to, let's say, a house where mere assembly, meaning just adding a brick, not completing a house, is still bona. By a kli, that's not true. Right? By a kli, you'd have to create it from scratch and complete it, and that would be bona. Anything less would not be bona.
So if you have a kit and you have to put the pieces, glue them together, then that, would that...
Well, last week's or this week's?
Well, this week, I guess.
We're still on last week's, but whatever, that's fine. I just don't know which one you want. I'll give you one of each, but...
If we're still on last week's, then it's this week's.
Yes, meaning not the new one I sent out. I sent out yes, I know the addendum is two pages, but an addendum, fine.
Right.
Okay.
Didn't last week make a distinction, like a fold-up chair, as opposed to, let's say you've got a kit and you're putting the pieces
right,
together.
Right, meaning...
In that case, it probably would be bona, would it not?
According to Tosos, right. Meaning if it's in pieces, right, that's what he says. If it's in pieces and you have to really put it together, that's not assembly, that's building.
Right.
Right. If you're just, whatever.
Lego.
Yeah. Well, see, this is why I had an addendum, because everyone was asking about Lego, so I put Lego. That's why there's a long thing. It's not that much. It's just that, like, Shlomo Zalman writes a decent amount about Lego. It's not hard read, but okay. Fine. Now the Ran, if you look at 12, so this is what we're up to, number 12. The Ran lists three different yeshuvim to this stira. So he first says, first possibility, one, Yesh Lomar, I numbered them for you, Aleph Bet and Gimel. Yesh Lomar, Dechi Amrin Hachi, Hani Mili, Bekli, Shenisparik, Kon Menorah Shel Chulyos, Aval Osekli, Mitchiloso, Lo Mikri, Binin Bekilim, Elo Osekli, Mikri, Umachayev. So the first possibility is what Tosva says, right? He just quotes Tosva's, that building something from scratch is called making a kli, that is, bona. Putting something together, merely assembling something, right, like a snap together whatever, right? Like, let's say it's not a folding chair. Folding chair is always together, but I don't know. It's a folding chair that you have to put the seat on top of it afterwards, right? The seat has fallen off, you rest it on top, right? That's...
So what about Kev Patish?
We haven't even gotten there yet. Okay. We haven't even gotten there yet. We will, don't worry. We will.
Okay.
We will. Okay. We mentioned it, but we'll come back. We're going to come back to it in a minute. But that's answer one, right? That's Tosfos. But then the Ran is a different possibility. In Bet, he says maybe it's not about building a new kli versus assembling something. It's about whether when you assemble it, it requires a professional or not. Right? Meaning, there are certain things that you're building it basically from scratch, but anybody can do it in 5 seconds, which tells you that it's not building something new, right? If I can do it, right, it's in my house, if I can do it, it's not bona. If I need my father-in-law, it's bona, right? That's basically the rule. Not totally. I guess I could build an IKEA thing. Fine. But basically, if you need an expert, you need a craftsman, so that's bona. If it's the type of thing that anybody can snap together... Right, even someone who's not very handy, so that tells you that you're not creating something new. It basically exists, right? It's a similar svar to Tosus, but not exactly the same, right? It's not about making something new versus just assembling something. It's even if it's in pieces, right? You're basically making something new. But when you put it together, anybody can do it. And it takes not so long, right? It's not such a big deal, right? So that's not bonus. So, right, to take the IKEA example. I gave this example last week, right? Some of the IKEA tables, right? Some of them you really have to, you know, have a hammer and a screwdriver and have to be all handy and whatever to make it, right? Not so complicated, but you're still building it from scratch. Some of them, you know, you take it out of the box, and there's the table part, and then four legs, which you just screw in. So yes, before you put in the legs, it is nothing, right? But I assume, according to the Ron, that's not called bone, right? There's no building, you're just screwing it in. There's no screws, there's no anything. It's like a, right? Yes, before you do that, it's just a, you know, flat board and four sticks. But it takes so little time and so little skill that that's not bonus. That's what he says. Lo'od ela afilu kli shenisparik v'tzarich umnan b'charzaraso v'achziro chayav alav mishum bona. Shemishah shenisparik v'en hed yachal l'achziro batel mitoras kli. Once an expert is needed to put it together, then it is bona. V'nimtzik shemachziro osik kli b'tchila. Umishum haitayma asrin of perakira l'talto minar shel chulyo shematipol v'amisparik l'gamri v'achzira nimtza osik kli b'tchila b'shabbos. And therefore he just distinguishes all the times in the Gemara where it implies that there is bona by kalim, that's by a kli that would require an expert to put it back together. But if it's something that's ain bin b'kalim, that's something that any person could put together. The third possibility, he says, is, and right, as we said last week, the way of dealing with the stira between the sugyas is either to distinguish between the sugyas or just simply assert there is a machlokas. So third possibility is pretty straightforward, is Vachir Momrim de Rav Omer Hacha Mishum Bonas Virle de Yesh Binyan Bekalim. The alternative is just to say, no, it is a Machlokas HaSugyas. There is a Machlokas in the Gemara, whether it's Yesh Binyan Bekalim or Ein Binyan Bekalim. And all the Gemaras that imply that there is Bona Binyan Bekalim follow the position that Yesh Binyan Bekalim. All the Gemaras that say Ein Binyan Bekalim follow the position Ein Binyan Bekalim. There is no distinguishing, it's just, it's a machlokes. It's straight up a machlokes. That's all there is to it. Okay, so those are the three possibilities in the Ran. Now, the difference between Tosfos and the Ran becomes important l'halacha, because if you think about it, and a lot of, as we'll see, some of the poskim will pick up on this, let's say Lego, for example, may or may not, you know, hang on this, right? It may not, and we'll see for other reasons, but it's something that anybody could put together, right? But on the other hand, if you make, you know, a Lego boat, right, you are creating something new. So if you think creating something from nothing is bonus, maybe, according to Tosfos, it'd be bonus. But it's not something that, you know, experts need to do. It's someone that, you know, something that, you know, anyone who's, what, six and over, whatever it says on the package, right? Anyone who's old enough to not swallow the pieces should be able to build it, right? That's not a new one, right? So presumably that would be part of the discussion, at least with Legos and the like, is do we paskin like Tosfos or do we paskin like the Ran? Okay, the Meiri in 13 tries his hand at it, and he says, V'chein lo nemru advarim beheter hachzaras cholios ela bekelim beinoniim. Another possible way of distinguishing is sheer size. He says, when do we say ein bin bekelim, things that aren't so big? Aval gdolim bi yoser aser. But if it's a really big kli, it's aser. Now, where does Tosfos get the idea that a really, really big kli is aser?
Meiri.
Well, sorry, yeah, where does Meiri get the idea that a really big kli is going to have bin bekelim?
Where does he get that a small kli doesn't have
binyan bekelim? Well, yeah, where does he get that distinction?
From the state in Provence.
What?
Yeah, the bed case.
He gets it from, well, I don't, my guess is he doesn't get it from the bed case, he gets it from
the house.
The case in Erevin, right? The case of the big box, the Migdal, right? With the Gemara has a machlokes. One shita says this big box is ein binyan bekelim. The other position says no, it's big enough that it is because it's called an ohel, right? Which tells you that there's a kli, right? I mean, that machlokes tells you that there is a box which is big enough that some people view it as a kli and therefore there's no binyan, and some people say it's so big that it's not a kli anymore. It's a movable closet. It's a house on wheels, right? You know, as we all know, right? The difference between a walk-in closet, right, and a room is sometimes hard to tell, right? It's right. So the same thing is true of a really, really big box, right? especially, you know, in Israel, the closets are portable, right? They're not built into the wall. So some of them are small, and they're basically coat racks, right, with a door around them. And some of them are huge, and you can, like, walk into them. So the Meiri takes that, I think, Gemara, and then expands it and says, well, maybe that's the difference between Yeshanein and Bin Bekelim. When you have really big Kelim, which are basically mini houses, so then Yesh Binyan Bekelim, because it's domet to a bayit, it's domet to an ohel. When they're small, so they're not. In some cases, like the case in Erevin, are going to be borderline, where you're going to have a machlokas. Is it a mini house? Is it a mini, you know, portable closet? Or is it a big box? Right? Which do you look at it at? But the basic distinction is, right, size.
How exactly do you define that?
The problem the Gemara, right? The Gemara itself tries to figure it out, right? A big box, which is almost closet size, the Gemara has a machlokas about. But, you know, anything short of that, according to Meiri, presumably would be mutter. You know, where you exactly draw the line, I don't know. Right? Meaning, you know, presumably anything that somebody couldn't walk into, if he tried, is not a kli, right? But a closet you could walk into, so you can sort of see why, you know, a box which is big enough to be a closet, you know, is an in-between status. If it's small, I don't know exactly where he would draw the line. Meaning, right, he doesn't really, you know, gives you a standard. He says, Beinoniim, right, instead of saying intermediate and big, he says intermediate and very big, right? That's how you...
Yeah,
right?
I think small would be no...
Right, small would be fine for sure, according to Meiri. Now, look, one of the things that's always true is that the Rishonim are very comfortable with sort of hazy answers like that, and Achronim like to formalize, but Rishonim really don't care. Rishonim always have things like, well, the difference is this is a bit more, this is a bit less. How much is a bit more? How much is a bit less? I have no idea. But
the guy, like, owns an estate.
Yeah, exactly. Look, this is true about everything. It's like, you know, look, I tend to here be sensitive, like to be sympathetic to the Rishonim. Where on the one hand, I really would love, you know, the Meiri to have said, you know, if it is this many meters by this many meters, then it is, you know, bona, and if it's this,
like a sukkah.
Yeah, whatever, a sukkah. That I would love for him to say it. On the other hand, I'm sort of sympathetic to saying, I don't know, right? There are certain things that are clearly not, you know, an ohel. Certain things clearly are, and there are going to be things in the middle, and, you know.
A little bit of poetic license, halachic license.
Yeah, but, you know, that's always, it's like, you know, like you have it with, my favorite is like by Mir Hamatsui, right? Where, you know, we have to, right, in halacha, if there's a Mir Sheinu Matsui, right, it's an uncommon minority, we don't even have to worry about it. If it's common, you have to worry about it. And then suddenly this huge discussion opens up in the Achronim, which never appears before the Achronic period. How much is too much, right? How much is common, right? So people say 7% and 10% and 4%. And then even within that, they say, well, 10% of what? 10% of every wholesale, every retail sale, right? And they go on forever. And then you have poskim like Rav Asher Weiss or Vosner who say, no, here's the standard. If, like, for, they say this in the context of bugs. If you would find a bug in that fruit or vegetable and you would be surprised, it's a miut she'eino matsui. If you wouldn't be surprised, it's a miut hamatsui. What's the difference? I have no idea. Tell me whether you're surprised or not surprised, and I'll tell you whether it's a miut hamatsui, she'eino matsui. Some people will be surprised by some things and other people will not be surprised by it. Fine, there's going to be borderline cases. That's basically, you know, Meiri is just saying that. He said, look, there's intermediate and there's really big. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the middle. I don't really know what to say with it, but fine. He says, Agdolim b'yoser asur v'hushen ezrachzoros trisei chaniyos. And he said, that's why one of the things that is asur is putting together the shutters, right? The shutters on the building, yeah, because that's big. You're covering a building. That's what you're doing, right? That's a pretty straightforward case. Kamoshe is bar. V'chei menorah atzma. And he says, what about the case of menorah? Maybe that's what's going on in the Gemara and Shabbos, that it's, you know, really, really big. Okay. Yeah, those huge ones, right? That's basically, you know, it's taller than, I mean, anybody, right? You have to go up on those, you know, they put them up on the stairs, you have the little stairs, you have everybody coming with the candles. Right.
Was he talking about the menorah by the base of Mikdash?
What? No, he's just talking about the Gemara and Shabbos, right? Oh, that talked about, okay. Right, menorah, just
okay.
The lamp.
Okay.
So we have so far we have five ways of distinguishing between the sugyas. One is to assert there's a machlokas, right? Yesh ben mekelim, ein ben mekelim. The second is to distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov. The third is to say it's a difference between creating a new kli versus assembling a kli. Similar to that, though not quite the same, is the way we distinguish between building and assembling is whether or not you need a craftsman, or your average Joe could put it together. And then the Meiri, we distinguish based on size, because if it's really big, it's like a house, and therefore it's bona. If it's small, it's a kli, and therefore it's not bona. Okay. So let's just take some of these positions. Let's just take the Ran for a moment. Reshechter, commenting on the Ran, just gives what I think is a common sense understanding of the Ran's distinguishing between Uman and not, right? Between craftsman, one that requires a craftsman and not. He says as follows: De im hed yod yachal achziro, akati yeshalov shem kli af achsha ba'odu bilti mechubar. Said, if a non-expert, a non-craftsman, can assemble it, it's not considered broken, right? It's still considered a kli when it's disassembled, right? Which we all sort of know that, right? If you don't need a call the handyman to build it, then you don't consider it broken, right? You say, give me a second, I'll put it back together. If you need to call the handyman, then it's broken because, right, it's out of order until you get somebody expert to build it. Right? If you need a craftsman to come and fix it for you, then until you get that craftsman, it is not a kli. Therefore, putting it back together makes it a kli, right? I think that's sort of the common sense direction that the Ran is going in.
Those things we say is a couple tumah and all that kind of stuff, but it's a kli, or is it something?
Yeah, this would potentially have nafkaminas for tumah. Yeah, I mean potentially, it's a bit more complicated than that, but yes, potentially for it as well, right? I mean that is the machlokas tanur shel achnai, right? If you have something, I mean, right, made of pieces, reassembled, is it the same kli as an old kli, right? Okay, Rashi, now. Most of the Rishonim do not take the last answer of the Ran, namely that it's just a machlokas and then paskin. Most of them assume that we paskin one of these in-between positions, right? That fundamentally we hold yesh binyan bekelim sometimes and ain binyan bekelim other times, either distinguishing between making a new kli or assembling, between something that needs an expert or doesn't need an expert, between something which is big and something is small. Some version of that is basically how most Rishonim take it, but Rashi doesn't take it that way. Rashi takes it presumably the way the Ran does in his third answer and says, there's a machlokes, and we paskin ain binyan bekelim, period, end of story. Rashi in 15 says, Ein Ezer Binyan Vestira Bekelim, Ela Bibatim Dinechayev Bibinyan Koldehu. He said, the only time you have bone is by houses, where you violate bone by building. The Ose Kli, O Gomro Beyondav of Shabbos, and if you make a Kli, or finish it, on Yom Tov or Shabbos, if you are obligated, coming back to what Howie said, Mishum Maka Befatish Hum Demechayev. It's not that you're not obligated if you build a kli. How does he know that you're obligated in something? Because of the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf, Kuv Beis. Right? The Gemara there had said, Ayel Shufta Bikafina Demara. Right? If you put together a new shovel, so Rav Omar Mishum Boneh. Rav had said you violate because of Boneh. Ushmuel Omar Maka Befatish. And Shmuel says, you do violate, you aren't allowed to make a new kli, but it's only Asr Mishum Makeh Bepatish. Shu Chayev L'chol Gmar Malacha. Because Makeh Bepatish, you're violate whenever you finish a Malacha. Oh, Imu Davar Shuhu Machliko Chayev Mishum Mamachek. Or if you smooth it down, so it's Mamachek. Im Tzarch Kitzua. And if you have to cut it into exact shapes, Chayev Mishum Machatech. Then you violate Machatech. V'chein Oreg, if you have to weave it, O Mosech, O Chofer, whatever malacha you do, you can violate. Avol binyan v'stira lo shayach v'lechuyuve v'siluk v'chazara. But bona itself and stira, right, which is the inverse of bona, you do not violate with kalim. Okay. So, that's very nice. Most of the Rishonim don't like Rashi. But the bigger question to ask on Rashi is, okay, well, what difference is it going to make? Right? Now, it could just be a, you know, academic machloket, which is, okay, so everybody agrees you can't build a new kli. The only question is it called bona? Is it called makeh bepatish? Rashi insists that it's not bona, right? And everyone else insists that it is bona. But there is no difference. Everyone will agree that it's usser.
You cannot, a person not chayev for the punishment until you give him a warning for the
correct. So one nafkamina is going to be, and this is the nafkamina for everything in Shabbos, is the position of Minchas Chinuch, right? That when you give someone hasra, you have to give him hasra for the right malacha, right? So if you told him it was Makav Hadash and it was Bona, you told him it was Bona, Makav Hadash, he'd be Pater, right? So yes, according to Menchel's Kanef, we have an easy Nafkamina, right? Is what do you give him Azhara for? Halacha Lamaisa, there is a much more important, there are several very, very important Nafkaminas which will come out, which, you know, even without a Sanhedrin, is a Nafkamina. And that is, as we'll see, one is the position of the Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah has a position that normally we have a rule on Shabbos that not only do you violate a malacha if you do it on purpose, you also violate a malacha if it's a psikresha, right? If it's an inevitable consequence of what you did. And even psikresha lo nichale, right? Even if it is unintentional, right? But it's inevitable, it's at least asur midirabanan. But the Magen Mishnah says that's only that's true by all malachos except for Makeh B'Fatish, because Makeh B'Fatish is subjective by definition. Right? We discussed this when we did electricity on Sunday morning, and therefore Makeh B'Fatish, even when it's a psik resha, right, dilo nicholai, even if it's inevitable, it's mutter. Now that's going to be a big nafkamina, because what happens if you're doing something else but it completes a kli? Now if it's bona, you might have to be worried about it. If it's Makeh B'Fatish, you might not. Now, even that doesn't come up too often. What's more important than that is the inverse of Boneh. Because what's the inverse of Boneh?
Stira.
Stira, right? Stira. Now, what's the inverse of Makeh B'Fatish? There is none.
Patish and Makeh.
Right, thank you. There is none. Three. Right. Therefore, there's a very big Nafkamin Allah Chalamaisa, which is, can you destroy a kli on Shabbos? Right? Now, according to Tosvos or the Ran, well, if it's the type of clay that now that you have destroyed it, it would have to be rebuilt from scratch, or it would need a handyman to rebuild it, then if you destroy it, you have undone boneh. If you think that, no, there's no such thing as boneh, there's only Makeh B'Fatish, then that only forbids you from building it, but destroying it is not going to be a malacha, which is going to be important because... And this is one of the most common nafkaminas that's quoted in the poskim for this machlokes, is opening food packages. Because according to Rashi, it's vandai mutter, because he says anytime you build the box, it's Makeh B'Fatish. But that means the inverse is nothing, right? Because it's just mekalkel, and there's no stira. So if I destroy the cereal box, or I destroy the, you know, the whatever, the Endemans box, or whatever it's going to be, according to Rashi, there's no shaila that it's mutter. According to Tosfos, according to the Ran, if I destroy it such that it can't be rebuilt without an expert, then I'm at least potentially in the world of stira, right? Because once you say yesh binyan bekelim, then there's yesh stira bekelim. So that's where, that's on addendum page, right? Page. This is why I put it there. Okay? But let's continue now with the theoreticals, now that I've pointed in the direction we're going to go. Okay, the Pnei Yeshua wants to just explain Rashi. So he writes as follows. He says, L'chach nira l'fioneis daiti. D'le Rashi nami ikar plukta dein binin bekelim. I think that even Rashi would agree that the machlokas in the Gemara about binin bekelim or not, hainu dumya demita menorah shel chulyot, is a case of this bed or menorah made of pieces, afil b'chai gavna da'al shufta b'kufina demara d'mechayiv le'rav mishum boneh, or when we put together this shovel, which Rav says is boneh, mishum d'tchilas malacha ugmar malacha nasin ke'echad, because the beginning and end of the malacha happen at the same time. Mishum hachi, the Rav chai mishum boneh, l'shmo mishum Makeh B'Fatish. So the Pnei Yeshua says no. There is a big nafkamina to Rashi versus the other Rishonim. Because Makeh B'Fatish, when do you violate Makeh B'Fatish? Only at the end. Boneh, like in the case of a house, when do you violate? Anytime you do something significant that you add to the binyan. So according to Tosfos, if I'm in the process of building a whole kli, I violate boneh. According to Rashi, I don't. Because it's only Makeh B'Fatish, it's only at the end. So the only time that you can have a machlokes that where it's only a machlokas about the shame of the malacha is where they have them the same time, right? If I take the head of a shovel and the bottom of the shovel and I attach them, and now in one fell swoop I built it, so then Rav and Shmuel argue, is that boner, is that makav patish? But if there's multiple stages to build it, then according to Rashi, you're putter, because you're only chayv at the last moment, makav patish. According to Tosfos, you're potentially chayv along the way as well, because boner recognizes binyan in stages, makav patish doesn't. So the Bnei Yeshua says, another nafkamina, it's not just a theoretical nafkamina like the Menchas Chenoch, and it's not just a nafkamina for stira. There's a nafkamina for, or you chayev for the intermediate stages as you are building it. Okay. So now.
You have to have a function.
What?
Doesn't a kli have to have a function?
Not yet, right? Like a house, right? As soon as you add a single brick, you're chayev, right? Because you're in the process of building. That's already bonus.
So if you're building something and you haven't built it yet and it has no function.
Doesn't matter.
No,
it's bonus. Neither does a bunch of bricks, but once you add a brick to it, you're chayev.
Because it's already...
Because of the process of building.
But it already has a function.
Well, it's not finished. I mean, right, makav patish needs to be finished. Bona is you're in the process of making something which will be functional.
But even with that, with Rashi, who says there is a binyan b'keli, you still have the machloket at the earlier stages where he's saying nothing happens.
Correct, and that's what he poskens, right? Rashi poskens ain't binyan b'keli. Now, there is an extreme position, which, right, so far we've seen, how do you, Armi Yashiv the Gemara? So either you say it's Machlokes and Paskin Ein Bin Nivikael, and that's Rashi. Or you say it's a difference big and small, which is the Me'iri. Or it's building a new Kli, or just reassembling, which is Tosas. Or it depends on whether you need a craftsman or not, which is the Ran. Or it depends on Shabbos or Yom Tov, which is the first position in Tosfos. But everybody at least assumes that there is somebody in the world who believes Yesh Binyan Bekelim. Right? There's somebody in the world who believes Yesh Binyan Bekelim. But as Rosenzweig likes saying, there were three Rishonim who were like briskers, who always took things to their logical extreme, which make their positions very exciting. Right? The Uraim, Rosar Metz, right, the Tosfos Rid, and the Marach or Zarula. So if you ever want the extreme on any range, you can have, your best chance are those three Rishonim. So the Urayim takes the extreme. Now, I don't know if he denies that Beis Shammai holds Yesh Bin Mikalim, but he does deny that Rav does, right? So remember, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Beis, the case of putting together the shovel, Rav says explicitly, you violate for building a shovel because of Bona, right? This is what created everybody's problems. Yesh Binyan Bekelim, Yesh Bin Mikalim. The Urayim, if you look, this is on the addendum. I didn't put it in the original, but you look at the addendum, right, number one, the Urayim says, V'im Kain, Kasha Dirava Dirav, I don't understand. Rav himself is the one who says in Shabbos that it is Bona, and yet Rav is the Man D'Amar who says that Ein Bin Bekelim in some of the Zigas, who says, Hello Kasha, Da Bona Hache Perusho, what does it mean in Shabbos Kuf Beis when, copy it? One second. You need the second one? Yeah. Mostly I'm going to do things in order, but this one I, had it included in the first one. So the, anyone else need this one? Okay. So, says, Hachi Perusho, Rav Amishum Bone, Perush, Mara Zos Mechuseres, Binyan Bechisaran Shufisa, Hilkoch Ein Bo Isser, Make Befatish, Eino Nikre, Make Befatish, Ela Bedavar, Eino Mechuser Binyan, Shakaz Patish, Hul Achar Gmar Binyan, Velo Amaravishum Bona, Lomar Shiesh Chiyuv Bona, Medavar Tain Stiro Binyan Bekelim, Velo Aminimishum Bona, El Hasiro Mitam Makeve Patish. He doesn't think there's Bona, he thinks there isn't Makeve Patish, right? He thinks when Rav says you're Chayav Mishum Bona, that's not what he means. He means that if you would be chayev, it would be for bona, not makav patish, because you're not finishing it. But you're not chayev for makav patish, therefore you're not chayev for anything, right? Which is,
it means the opposite of what it seems to mean.
Yes, it means the opposite. When he says chayev mishum bona, he means putter because it isn't bona, right?
I mean, it is bona, but there's no bona.
Meaning, right? Meaning it's. Okay, I'll correct that. It's bone in the sense that it's building. It's not bone in the sense that it's not the malacha called bone. So when Rav says chayiv mishum bone, he means that if you would be chayiv, it would be for the building, but it's not called makav patish like shmol, therefore you're not chayiv for anything. Okay, fine. Shulachar binyan shul olam b'chizorn binyan lontiyam alacha maga vaders perish b'kotzer mishum bona ein vola tam bona u'me'osa bona ein chiyuv. Right? The only thing you could be chayiv for is bona, but you're not chayiv for bona, so you're chayiv for nothing. So when I said chayiv, I meant patur. Okay. De'ein binyan b'kelem b'kolasug yanoch l'farsha achar perishu. Okay.
Is he saying that Rav does not hold Makabat Patish?
Oh, correct. He thinks Rav holds that it's not Bone or Makabat. So when he said Chayiv Mishum Bone, he meant Pater Mishum Makabat Patish. Right. Okay.
If he's Chayiv,
he'd be Chayiv, it would be for Bone. But, I mean, he's building. I mean, he said he's building, therefore it should be Bone. But it's not Bone because Ain't Bin Bekalim. Therefore he's Pater.
Because he doesn't hold.
Exactly, because all they've been Bekalim. So there is theoretically that last possibility, which is not only is there no binyan Bekalim, there's not even Makabat Patish. And Rav, who says you're Chayav Bone, means the opposite of what he says. Okay, so that is technically a sixth possibility. As you can tell, it's a bit
convoluted.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't make any sense.
That's the less.
It's another thing if you told that to Uradi on your own.
Right, and if you told him it was the Uradian, he would believe you. Yeah. I remember once. Like, is it? It's sort of consistently the Uraim, the Tosarid, the Marach, or Zarua. Like, you always come up with this. I remember once in Shir Klali, when I was in Yeshiva, so Rav Gigi was presenting a position of the Tosarid, and so someone raised his hand and said, well, according to that Svara, shouldn't such and such be true? And Rav Gigi said, conceptually, you're correct, but if that was true, it would go against the Gemara Mifureshet, so it must be that that isn't true. So I then went over to Rav Gigi and I said, that's very nice, except the Tosas Rid is not one to be scared of Beferish Gemaras. And I pulled out a tshuva of the Rid in his Sefer Machriya, where he says, oh, and my position contradicts that Gemara? Okay, we don't poskim like that Gemara, right? There are certain people who are conceptually consistent, and therefore it doesn't matter, right? You have a Gemara Mifureshet? You think you have a Gemara Mifureshet. You don't have a Gemara Mifureshet. I'll explain it to mean the opposite of what it says. To be conceptually consistent, fine. So fair, fine. That's very dangerous, right? Because then, you know, that's like, because you never know how that's going to be used, right? That was like with the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, right? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says that the Perush Rabbi Yehuda Chassid al HaTorah is a forgery. Right, or is a toast, is a Talmud Toeh, right? Because he has all types of, you know, weird things in there, right? But, you know, once you open that Pandora's box, Rav Nasha Klein writes a tshuva on that tshuva of Moshe and says that tshuva by Rav Moshe must have been a forgery or Talmud Toeh because he couldn't have challenged. You know, once you open, just never do, don't do that. Just, okay, it's just not worth it. Fine. Okay, let's look at the Rambam's position. So what does the Rambam hold here? So the Rambam in number 17 says as follows. Habone al gabe kelim patur. If you build on kelim, you are exempt. Right? What? Al gabe kelim. Right? Meaning if you build on top of a kli, right? Well, that's what we'll see in a moment, right? Not if you build a kli, but if you build, right, on top of a kli, like you build kelim, with kelim. Right, not a kli, but with, right? That's how Rambam is seeming to understand it. But we'll see that in just in a moment. Your potter. Ha'osa o'al kavua. If you make a tent, ha'rezet told us bona v'chayiv. So then that is a tolod of bona, and you are liable. Chen osa kli adama, kigon tanur v'chaviz kodem shi'esherfu, ha'rezet told us bona v'chayiv. And if you make a earthenware kli, like an oven, so that is also bona, which makes sense, right? Like it's attached to the ground, and you're building up from the ground. V'chein ha'migabin es ha'gvina, ha'reza told us bona. And if you make cheese, it's bona. So he paskins like the laws are against the chachamim, and says that if you make cheese on Shabbos, it is bona d'oraisa. V'einu chayvat she'gavin kegrogeres, but you have to make at least, right, a dried date fig. And hamachnes yad kardum betocha ayin shalom. And if you put together the shovel, Hareza told us bone v'chein kol chayotze b'zeh v'chein hatokeh eitz be'eitz bein shetaka b'masmer bein shetaka be'eitz atzmo atchenes achid. Hareza told us bone v'chayev. All these cases are bone. So it sounds like. So what is the Rambam's position? It seems like he distinguishes between building, at least at this point, building with kelim and building kelim. Right? What is Ein Binyan B'Kelim? It means if you assemble things which are themselves Kelim, right? Like you take, you know, a shovel, I don't know, and then you, I don't know what you're going to do with it, I don't know. You take one box and you put it on top of another box, right? So now, it sort of looks like a, you know, a not just a box, it looks like a set of drawers, right? Because now you have two, you know, boxes on top of each other. That's not bona, right? That's just putting two kalim on top. But any time you put together a kli, right? How is the Rambam understanding? He's giving it a seventh possibility. I think we're on seven now, right? That what ein binyan b'kalim means, there's no binyan if you're assembling kalim, and kalim are the components of what you're building. But if you create a kli, that would indeed be bona. Right now, that at some level is similar to Tosfos and similar to the Ran in certain ways, right? But it's a different angle. Right? Ein bin bekelim means you can't create a something with kelim. You can create something with kelim, you just can't create a kli.
Are those examples that he's giving? Building with a kli or this?
No, but it'll become even clearer in number 18, where the Rambam seems to provide his svara for this, which is as follows. He says, "V'kena lokeach chala v'nasan bokeva k'di lechavtzar ezechayv."
When it says
koyim
strefa, so
if
the strefa would be makapane,
there
would be makapane. When it says koyim strefa, so if the strefa would be makapatish at that point.
Yeah, I assume so. Or havara, and you know, no, multiple, but, I mean, multiple things. But it'd be more, say, yeah, right? It would be makapatish, and it would be havara or right, bishul or right, whatever havara probably. So in 18, talking about the making of cheese and butter and the like, he says, right, so if you separate it out, so it's borer, fine. Now if you make it cheese, now in Perek Yud, he hadn't said why, but this is an earlier halacha. Here he does explain. Because whenever you take pieces and put them together to make a single thing, that's like building. And all these avos have talados. And the Ibn Azel clarifies. And he says, what does the Rambam clearly hold? The ikar av melacha de bone hu bone binyan shaka akarch yesh bo shnei inyanim echad shu ose oel kavua. He said, the ikar av melacha is building a house. So, like building a, right? Whatever, an oel, a house, whatever it is. But there's a second element, namely, sheni shehu mikabetz chelek el chelek. The tolada of that is putting pieces together. That's clearly the Rambam's position. So why, therefore, does the Rambam distinguish between building with kelim and building a kli? Because building a kli is like bona. You're putting things together to make a greater whole. If you're building with kelim, each of them is itself an atomic unit. And therefore, when you pile two kelim on top of each other, it's not called bona. Right? Because bona is taking, right, components and making a whole. Putting two kelim together is adding two atomic units to each other, which remain distinct. Right? That's why he says, ein binyan b'kelim, meaning there's no binyan when the building blocks are kelim, but yesh binyan if you're mekabetz, right, dvarim b'yachad.
And what about the menorah that's in parts? In other words, is he saying his binyan b'kelim is when they become indistinguishable? In other words, the cheese, once you put it together, it looks like one piece. And the menorah that...
Correct. I think that's what the Rambam's going to say, right? And therefore, so how would he distinguish between the cases? Well, it depends, right? If it was in, you know, if it's the type of menorah that's in pieces, right? So then, when you put it together, before it looked like a bunch of pieces, and now it looks like an atomic whole. If before, it looked like it was already, right? You were just assembling it, right? Then it basically looked, I mean, each piece was, right, just snaps together. I mean, each piece is an independent, is a kli. Right, that's why it's so easy, right?
But is it called a kli when it's there?
Well, that's the question, right? You're going to have to figure out exactly where it's going to draw the line. But presumably that's what I'll say, is that certain times it looks like all you have is a bunch of building blocks that you're now putting together into a whole. Sometimes it looks like you're taking assembled things and putting them together, right? Okay. The Maharal... in number 20, in his parish on Masechet Shabbos, has yet another possibility. V'ein achiv mishum shetikin kli, rak shetikin davar zed derech binya zed nikra bone. V'lo amrina de'ein binyan vestira bekelim, rak shelo amrina sheichiv shelo mishum maase kol. Right, so he says, the difference is... not necessarily what you're making, but how did you make it. If you make it derech binyan, right, then it's called boneh. If it's just, you know, assembling, right, now I don't know exactly how you would distinguish, but he thinks, right, as opposed to everybody else, that it's about the type of result you get, he thinks it's about the process, right? Did you do it in a way that it looks like building, or you do it in a way that, right, yeah, I don't know exactly how to distinguish between them, but that's the Maharal's position. Okay. The last things to mention here is the question of the cheese, right? Just parenthetically, coming back to that cheese question, right? So remember, the Gemara had said that according to Elazar, making cheese is boneh, and the Chachamim had argued. Now, how do we paskin? So the Rambam paskined that making cheese is boneh. He paskins like Rabbi Elazar. Now, why does he paskin like Rabbi Elazar? Because he thinks the difference between Yesh bin Mikalim and Ein bin Mikalim is whether you took separate units to create a whole, or whether you took independent kalim and just, you know, piled one on the other. Now, according to the Rambam, therefore, it making cheese, you understand why it's worse than binyan bekalim, right? Because even when you assemble two kalim, it doesn't become an atomic, right, an atomic whole. But when you put together cheese, it indeed does. And therefore, for the Rambam, once the Rambam has his shita, that the difference between yesh and ein is whether you created a whole or whether you just assembled independent parts, cheese is a paradigmatic case of
a whole.
Right, of a whole. And therefore, he paskins like lishitaso Rebbe Eliezer. On the other hand, if you take some of the other positions, right, such as, you know, bone, it's only bone, like the Meiri, let's say, right? That's going to be the easiest example. That the difference is it really big and doma to a house or not? Then obviously cheese,
it's not pork.
Is not bone.
You're talking about big cheeses versus...
Yeah, you can make huge cheeses, right?
They
huge.
What? They're huge, yeah. The cheeses they make.
I mean, the size of a house?
No, but still relative to a cheese.
So, right, so now, according to the Miri, therefore, you should say, well, there obviously shouldn't be boneh by cheese. Now, the Miri, in fact, doesn't hold that. Miri, in 21, says, now, many Rishonim just reject it. Say, we paskin ein bin mekelim, therefore, also paskin ein bin in ba'ochlim, right? Period, end of story. I mean, the only things which are boneh are things which are doma to houses. So, Tosos, the Ra'an, all those people just reject bin in ba'ochlim. The Rambam accepts it because he thinks the difference between yesh and ein is whether you create a hole or whether you're assembling things which are themselves holes. The Meiri, according to his shita, it definitely can't be a function of binyan bekalim because, right, he says there's only binyan bekalim, it's like a house. On the other hand, Rilazar holds there is binyan by cheese. So the Meiri comes up with the bizarre position that by binyan bekalim, you're only chayiv if it's doma to a house, like it's really big. But by food, he writes in 21, Hamegabein chayiv mishum bona, afal pishamru ein bin bekalim yesh bin ba'ochlem, for whatever reason. Right? We paskin ein binyan bekalim, but yesh binyan ochlim. Why? Something. Good question. So Rav Asher Weiss has a suggestion, and he says as follows. He says, Ve'efsher de'beir ha'davar, de'derech binyan hu bechomrim ki ikr binyan shu bechomer uvil vengnim. He says, maybe. Building is only when you put together building materials, you know, like bricks. Aval kalim einam chomre binyan ela davar mushlam shetu raso mitukenes umuchana la nasa adam. Now, really, what I think he's doing is not explaining the Meiri, he's explaining Tosfos. He's explaining the Rambam. Right? What he's about to say makes a lot of sense for the Rambam. It's, in fact, how I explain the Rambam. But he's going to try to apply it to the Meiri. Right? So he said, maybe, right, let's do it within the Rambam. Right? The reason that Ein Binyan Bekelim is because it has to be doma to building a house. Building a house means you take, building materials, not completed items, right? That's why you can't build with two boxes on the top of each other. You can build when you make a new kli. That should be hadomim lochamrei binyan beemes yesh bahen binyan. And therefore, that's why the Rishonim hold that creating a new kli is boneh, because then you are creating something new from, right, raw products, from raw elements. V'davar zeh efshar, da'aftein binyan b'kli, mikol makom, yit binyan ba'ochlem. D'shayim b'zeh ochlem, mikelim, d'teva ha'ochlem, shelifamim markivim osam zeh b'zeh. But now he tries to explain the Meiri and says, well, maybe, I'm not sure it works for the Meiri because of the way the Meiri distinguishes, but he suggests that maybe the reason we would paskin ain binyan b'kelim, yesh binyan ba'ochlem, is that making food is, in that sense, more dumb at building a house than piling boxes on the top of each other, because, as we all know, you bake something, right? It becomes a new hole, right? You cook something, it becomes a new hole, right? You know, we bake and cook in shapes, right? There's a, right?
So the Yonkev wouldn't...
Well, that's right. That's obviously the Kasha, right? Now, many, Lahalacha, most Rishonim reject rejected the Rambam and say that making cheese alone is not boneh. That not like true halacha, because we may pass them like the Rambam, but many of the Rishonim reject that and say the only time it's boneh is if you make the fancy hard cheeses in specific shapes. So everyone agrees that making like cottage cheese is mutter, right? Because you know there's no shape. It's you know,
gooey.
Yeah, it's whatever cottage cheese is. Okay, so just to summarize what we've seen, so. How do we distinguish, therefore, between the cases where the Gemara clearly says there is binyan mekelim and then the other ones where it says ain? So, either you say it's machlokes, and if you say it's machlokes, you have two options. You can either go like Rashi and say, we paskin ain binyan mekelim, or you can go like the Urayim and deny that anyone ever said such a thing, that maybe Beis Shammai held it, but no one else held it. And when some people say yesh bona, they mean ain bona, and they mean not even makiv epatish. Fine. What would be the difference be between Makav Patish and Boneh? So either the Minchas Chinuch Azhara question, Hasra question rather, or the Pnei Yeshua, are you going to be Chayiv in the interim, right before you finish it, Makav Patish? Yes. Sorry, no. Boneh. Yes. There might be Nafkamin that says, well, Steve, for Stira. Or do you say, Yesh bin Mikalim on Shabbos, Ein bin Mikalim on Yom Tov, because of, as we saw last week, the position of Tosos? Or do you say that basically it comes down to whether you're creating something new or not? And there are different ways of saying that. Either saying it's a difference between creating something from scratch and creating a new hole, or just reassembling, which is Tosos, or the position of the Ron. It depends on whether you need an expert or not, because if you need an expert, then at the moment, it is broken, and therefore, when you rebuild it, you're creating something new. If it doesn't need an expert, then it's just reassembling. The Meiri distinguishes in terms of size. If it's big enough, then it's like a kli. If it's then it's like a bayit rather. If it's small enough, then it's just a kli. The Rambam, who thinks that the whole machlokas of ein and yesh bin v'kelim isn't about assembling a kli, it's about using kelim to build. But any time you put things together, you're chayev mishum boneh, because the Evan Ozel says the position of the Rambam is that any time you assemble things into an organic whole or whatever into a new unit, that is boneh mekabetz chelek el chelek. Based on that, we then move to the question of binyan ba'ochlem, where most of the Rishonim say, look, boneh is really about building a house, v'hadome la. Food, at any rate, is not dome to it, and therefore we paskin against Rabbi Lazar. The Meiri and the Rambam paskin that that yesh binyan ba'ochlem, which, as Minchas Asher notes, if you think that the distinction between yesh and ein binyan mekelim is building with elements that assemble into a hole, or building with things which are themselves complete objects, then it makes sense that there's ironically more binyan be'ochlem than there is binyan be'kelim.
Based on that, Tosfot actually makes more sense. In other words, Tosfot...
Which Tosfot?
The original concept of Tosfot...
Shabbos and Yom Tov, or...?
Between Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Okay.
Because if there's binyan be'ochlem, and you're allowed to do ochel nefesh on Yom Tov, then what he's saying makes sense, that you're patur from boneh on Yom Tov, and it's only...
If you take the assumption. We saw there were other reasons to challenge Tosfos.
Right, but based on this now with the...
Potentially, but it also takes assumptions about mitoch into account. But yeah, potentially. Okay. Okay, We're running out of time, so we're not going to get through all of this. Well, I figured that once people... I didn't originally want to get into the halachal mais things, but everyone was asking me about it, so I figured it's worth next week at least doing some of them. But number two on the new sheet, the Pnei Yeshua, is commenting on the Megabin case, so let's just at least see that. So the Pnei Yeshua says it follows on with regard to the cheese. He says, "Ukvar kasavti v'harakama debeitza liyashev dinirali barur dehadarmin hach b'shmaitzin hamegaben chayv mishum bone haina davkav demegaben kede liyav shamu atznian lizman meruba olamochran debi chi haygamne tarach lasos l'takim kein binyan." He distinguishes, just like we saw the Tosfos and the Ran and the Iri, who distinguish between different types of making kelim, he does the same thing with cheese. He says, simply making cheese is not going to be boneh according to anybody. He said, when is it boneh? If you're making it for storage, because then you make those huge blocks, like Gerard was saying before, right? If you're making for yourself, that's not boneh, right? But if you're making these huge blocks that are really hard and really aged and are going to last for a long time, so then I can sort of hear that just like we distinguish between some kelim, which are bonehs, making some kelim which are not bonehs, right? Depending on how much expertise and how long it is and how permanent it is, etc., etc. Same thing is true by cheese, right? Below you, sparikavam, megabin gedil achol alter. If I'm making it to eat it now, boso ayom near the lo dummy lebinyan klal vim kain lefizes sulo ashkan the huter binyan biyom de latzorach. And then he uses this to respond to Tosvos, right? Because then he says to Tosvos, why is Tosos' analogy wrong? Why is Tosos' extension wrong, rather? Why is Tosos' argument that since I can make cheese and cheese is boneh on Yom Tov, therefore I'm allowed to build my house, the Pnei Yeshua says no, Tosos is wrong in his original assumption. Because the only time you're chayiv mishum megabein, boneh for megabein, is if you're making cheese to last for a long time. You can't do that on Yom Tov, it's not for Yom Tov. If you're only making it for today, that's not boneh. And therefore, any time you're making cheese to eat it on Yom Tov itself, it's not boneh. Any time you're making it long-term, it is boneh, but that's going to be usur. And therefore, there's no case where making cheese is mutter, mishum ochal nefesh. The reason it's mutter if you're eating it on Yom Tov is because bechal not boneh. So if there's no case when it's boneh is mutter because of ochal nefesh, it's simply mutter because it's not boneh to begin with, so then you don't extend it to houses, right? That's the simple argument.
So he's saying it's the intention.
I think it's both the intention. And I assume he also means the consistency, but I'm not totally sure because I don't know how you make cheese well enough, right? I don't know if you make cheese for the day how hard it is. No, right, but I'm not sure. Is that also a difference in quality? Yeah. Is it? It is, right? I assume
then
that
the first
cheese.
One you're making it.
I mean, you make certain types of cheeses,
but right?
Cheeses will take long. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I assume when you're only eating today, right, if you're eating it right away, it also I assume is not that age consistent. I mean, like no. when the Gemara talks, when the Rishonim talk about, they talk about things which are aged for like 6 months at a time.
Right, that's the first one. But then he says, "Oh, lamachan."
Right. So again, I don't know, but I assume you can't sell on Yom Tov itself, but.
No, right.
So I don't know if it's just intent or it's also quality. I assume it's also quality, but I'm not totally sure because I just don't know. Right? If you're making cheese, I can't imagine. Like you can't make the hard cheeses in one day. Right? If I started on Yom Tov and I finish it on Yom Tov, it's just impossible. Right? It takes months. Right? I assume that those overlap. Right? If my intention is to sell it and to store it, then I make it in a certain way. If it isn't, then I make it in a different way. I'm just guessing. I'm not an expert in cheese making, but I think that's what he's saying. And he says, "And chay nirali vokas avisham bininachar ein sham v'dok." Right. So that's what he answers with regard to the cheese. Okay. That is adkan binyan bekelim. Not really, but that's what we're going to cover with binyan bekelim. The rest of the sources here are as I mentioned, the big nafkamina halach lamaisa of binyan bekelim is less binyan bekelim, but is stira bekelim. Right. Is So most of the rest of the sources that I've put are about stira bekelim and the implications of this machlokas, or this eight-way machlokas, oh God, of binyan bekelim for opening boxes, for Legos and taking apart Legos and things like that, which is what I have till the end. That I hope won't take all of next time, but it will probably take at least half an hour, and then maybe we'll start the next again. Okay.